Okay, good morning to everybody. It's a big schus because in most yeshivas, so today's really the first day of Ben Hazmanim. Baruch Hashem, we didn't really have too much of Ben Hazmanim. So Baruch Hashem, we're continuing strong, continuing the flame of Torah going. So we begin an next figure. I was able to get the Maamar Kabbalos. It's Maamar Kabbalos number 34. We go back really to some Bos Mecholos. The last couple of weeks almost, a little bit of a digression on more Vilchus Shabbos and Vilchus Bas Mechalov, because we've been spending so much time focusing on the word Bishul. But now we're going to get back to some real Bas Mechalov issues, and we're going to begin with the Sugya, which is really a Bas Mechalov Rabbanan question. It started out with the first Mishnah in the 8th Perek. The Mishnah spoke about the prohibition with the Rabbanan of having meat and cheese and meat and milk on the same table. And that can be violated one of two ways. Either it could be violated by two people eating together, or it can be violated even if it's only one person at the table. I'm eating fleishes and there's a slice of pizza sitting on the table, or vice versa. So that would be a violation of also halos gvin and basal l'shulchan. So in the first of Rabbi Kobos, Rav Yosef makes the following observation. I'm Rav Yosef. Shema min abisar ok b'chol of deraisa. From the fact that the Mishnah speaks about this prohibition with the Rabbanon of having meat and cheese together on the same table, and the Mishnah says it is applied equally to oaf as well as to Besar Behema, this would seem to indicate that Besar Oaf is actually Bas Mechol D'Araisa. Now we know this is already an old question. We spent so much time talking about it in the past. There are really almost three, maybe four different sheets of Tanoim about this topic. One view was that Bas Mechol, Bas Oaf is D'Araisa. It's the same as Besar Behema, it's Mamash D'Araisa. Then there were others who said, no, it's only Derabbanan. Either it's Derabbanan because it's not considered to be a Kedi, even though Kedi literally means a goat, but Kedi in Tanakh also means any other kind of Besar Behema. It's also called the Kedi, but Oaf is not called the Kedi. According to some Tanoim, you can't say Bechol of Imo because birds don't produce milk, or mammals produce milk. And then there was a further Machlokes Tanoim, even if it's not also in a Torah, it's also in Derabbanan. So a lot of different opinions as to what I take is on Besar Oaf. So Rav Yosef comes and says, from the Mishnah would appear that Besar Oaf is D'Araisa. Why? Because these seven Daik D'Rabbanan, the Gemara continues, if you would hold that Besar Oaf is only with Rabbanan, Achila Gufa Gezerah. So then if Besar Oaf is only with Rabbanan, then it was instituted as a Gezerah, as a decree. If one eats Besar Oaf, the Cholov, then one's going to potentially let to eat Besar Behema the Cholov. So if you hold that it's only a derabbanon, achila gufa derab gzeira, but a nigzo halot or achila, this would be already too far. This would be a double gzeira, what we call a gzeira le gzeira. We have a general rule that Chazal are required to make gzeiras. The Gemara says that that's based on the pasuk mishmarta mishmarti. There's a chiyuv on the Beis Din to try to make gzeiras whenever they think it's appropriate. The gzeiras are only supposed to be made to protect dinam deraisa. They're not supposed to be made to protect dinam derabbanon. That's already too far. To make a gezeira le gezeira, that's already not acceptable. So Rav Yosef says, well, if we find that there's a gezeira not to eat, if we find that there's a gezeira not to put oaf and cholov on the same table, and we know that putting things on the same table is at worst only a gezeira itself. So basically, what you're telling me is that we're making a gezeira le gezeira. That's not right. That's not acceptable. So the only thing to conclude, says Rav Yosef, is that Besar Oaf must in fact be D'Araisa against Rabbi Akiva. It is, but by the very institution of this Gezeira of Allah's Vina im Oaf HaShulchan, is a right of Besar Oaf is D'Araisa. So the Gemara is not convinced that this is true, but it's not exactly clear how and when and why and who rejects this, but it doesn't seem to necessarily be the absolute agreed upon statement. There are Tanoim who clearly say Besar Oaf is the Rabbanan. And it's very possible that in reality they do buy into this Gezeira. And it could be that sometimes Gezeira and Gezeira are made. That rule that you never, ever, ever make a Gezeira and Gezeira is not absolute. It does have it under certain circumstances. And maybe one could argue, and the Rambam seems to say this a little bit, but maybe this Gezeira is a little bit different. And maybe Besar Oaf, we're very, very weary about Besar Oaf. There's something that we have about Besar Oaf B'cholov that takes on almost certain chumras that other derabbanan don't have for the following reason. That Besar B'cholov is a very, very vague mitzvah in the Torah itself. The Torah says, Torah doesn't even use the lashon of achilas bas b'chalav. We know that you're not allowed to eat it. We're not questioning that. Torah shemapeh halach mosh b'sinai. There's no question there's an isser achilas bas b'chalav deraisa. But if you would just read the Pshuta Shemikra, you would be very, very mistaken in what you think bas b'chalav is or is not. Because the Torah uses the phrase gedi, which lefi Pshuta Shemikra only refers to a goat. B'chalav imo sounds like it only refers to this goat's mother's milk. How do you know that I can't take a piece of steak comes from a cow and cook it in another cow's milk? How do you know that? Okay, we believe that Munish Shleim is all part of a Teshuvah Peh, but Kadosh Baruch Hu was Moshe to Moshe Rabbeinu, the mitzvah of Bas B'chalav. He explained to B'al Peh that Bas B'chalav isn't just goats, and Bas B'chalav isn't just this mother and Bas B'chalav, other milk. That's all true. We're not questioning that. But there would be room for some confusion. There would be room for people who are not privy to Teshuvah Peh to, in a sense, take Bas B'chalav very, very lightly. So therefore, the Rambam writes that Bas B'chalav, because it's so vague in the Chumash, and because there's so much confusion, so a person may think, well, if I know that the Rabbi said I can have chicken and milk together, why can't I have meat and other mother's milk together? Why can't I have not a gedi? Why can't I have a sheep's meat? Why can't I have a cow's meat? Those are not really gedis. So once we start to open up, it's a very, very slippery slope. And therefore, Chazal had to throw out a certain chumras and uchas bas b'chalav in order to protect that slippery slope from happening. And one of those things that they may have thrown at us is this idea of that we're going to make it almost like a gzeira. We're going to aser halah ato achila, even though it's not real bas b'chalav deraisa in the first place. Or maybe there's another reason why Chazal were very machmir by bas b'chalav, almost above and beyond other areas of halacha. That's the notion of lo bedilim inay. That everybody knows you're allowed to eat meat, and everybody knows you're allowed to have a slice of pizza. So when you see a piece of meat, you don't like. Coil back in fear. When you see a slice of pizza, you don't say, oh, this is strange. It's when the two of them mix together, and that's where problems start. So that type of an issue psychologically is a little bit dealing with it. People don't frame for that. People don't separate from boss, they don't separate from cholah. So therefore, the odds of making a mistake are much higher. This idea already, we've spoken about this several times, this idea exists, first and foremost, in Tosef, that Beis Hamsach is a good lead into Beit Hashem. El Zman starting Yeshiva Beit Hashem very, very soon. So, I guess we'll hopefully switch over to the Pesachim Shiurim, and not all that long from now. So when the Yeshiva starts Pesachim, the Beis of an Aleph, one of the very, very first questions in the Sechd is that why did Chazal make all these Chumras and Ruchas Chometz after Bedikas Chometz? We don't find there's a Bedik of Chazir and a Melech, a guy moves into a new house. We don't find they have to go searching under the bed to make sure that the non-Jew didn't leave behind a piece of Chazir. No such thing, no such mitzvah, Bedikas Chazir. What are we checking for Chometz for? So Taisa says, "Gezeres shemayochol." We're afraid that you may come to eat the chametz. So my high manish tana that was so machber in chametz. Taisa says psychologically because it's lo b'dilim inay, because you eat chametz all year long. So it's something that you don't associate with being off limits. And now Pesach comes, you find a piece of chametz, you're going to forget. You're not going to find a piece of chazir. You have to find a package of pork rind chips and say, oh, gee, yeah, I'm going to eat this. No, what observant Jew is going to make a mistake in the chazer? An observant Jew may very well make a mistake in the chametz, because chametz, we're not used to refraining from chametz all year long. So again, that theme of lo bedilim inay exists in chametz. It may exist to a certain extent in bas b'chalav as well, combined with the fact that the Torah itself is a little bit unclear, a little bit vague. It could lead to some confusion in bas b'chalav. So for those reasons, it's not inconceivable that Chazal prohibited bas b'chalav, even in situations that smack a little bit of what would otherwise be examined. The regular rules of gzeirah l'gzeirahs, and if we find that Chazal prohibited b'sar of to have halal l'shulchan, so be it. It's a raya that b'sar of must be a d'araisa, and we probably don't accept that. And we take a look at the Rambam. Clearly doesn't accept that. The Rambam, the third of the Rambam, comes to write explicitly, also la'alasa over magvira la'shulchon, shuach alav. One is not permitted to have the chicken and cheese on the table at the same time he's eating. Why? We're afraid that an aver may happen. You make them eat one together with the other. The Rambam was apologetic by saying, even though I know full well that b'sarof is under the Rambam, if you remember, the Rambam was the one who was the strongest believer that Pesach Ofas the Rabbanan, to such an extent But the Rambam says, if anybody says the other way, everyone says fakir, they're in violation of Bal Tosef, who was the famous Rambam, Bruchus Mamrim, where the Rambam develops this idea, he could violate Bal Tosef even on Lavim. How do you violate Bal Tosef? I understand Bal Tosef on assays. How do you violate Bal Tosef on Lavim? So the Rambam writes, when you misrepresent the Dinei Torah and you present the Din Derabanan as being a Deraisa, that's called a violation of Bal Tosef as well. So the Rambam is for sure the biggest supporter of Bal Tosef being a, the biggest supporter of Pesach Oaf not being a Deraisa. And yet the Rambam in the same breath says you can't have another table. So clearly the Rambam didn't accept Rabbi Yosef's theory, again, for a variety of reasons, as we mentioned before. So the bottom line is, we do have the din in the Mishnah. We follow the din in the Mishnah that there is an issur gamur min derabanan to have meat and milk together at the table when you're eating. You can have it at the table. You're not eating. The person puts down. You're unpacking your groceries and you put down a piece of chicken. You put down a slice of cheese, and that's okay. But you're not allowed to eat them together. So you're not allowed to be eating one at the when the other one's on the table. Either two people eating together. Same time, or one person eating, but lemaisa both foods are on the table at the same time. So that is the rabbanon applies in full force, both for b'sar behem as well as b'sar ov. Even though we don't necessarily hold that b'sar ov is the rabbanon, is the rice, we probably hold to the rabbanon. It doesn't matter for a variety of reasons. We do apply what would otherwise quasi be exer. So, what exactly was the fear? What exactly was Chazal concerned with? We're going to eat the two together. What exactly does that mean? So we just mentioned the rabbanon a minute ago. The rabbanon says shemi yechazem. They get the impression of the rabbanon. But the concern is that we're going to literally take a bite of one as we're taking a bite of the other. So I'm going to be having my hamburger, and if I'm going to see a slice of pizza on the table, so I'm going to take a bite of the hamburger, a bite of the cheese. That's what the concern is. That we're going to literally come in and take a bite, eat them together. However, Rashi throws in another phrase. Rashi writes, Shema Yigul Zebazeh, Yechel B'yachel. Rashi says, we're afraid that the two foods may touch one another, and then I will eat them together. So you get the impression Rashi, we're not even so concerned. The guy is going to mamish forget as he's munching on his hamburgers, and he's munching on his cheese. He's not so out of it. That far, he's not going to make a mistake. What we're afraid is that if you have the two foods on top of each other, so you have your slice of pizza here and your piece of your hamburger over here. So inadvertently, the two foods may touch one another, and even though it's going to touch, they may end up even being cold. But lemaisa is going to be a little bit of a spread. We spoke about that a lot. About is it? It's not going to be the raisa. Maybe what goes in other cases of the raisa. Whatever the case may be, it is conceivable that two foods, flesh and milk, sitting on the same table at the same time, may come into contact with one another. And if they come into contact with one another, that could spell trouble. That could end up. In a sense, causing a person to, by mistake, eat bas mechal. So according to Rashi, it doesn't appear to be that there's going to be almost like an act of taking a bite of flesh, a bite of milk, etc. It's more the two are going to touch one another. Bite of kamina, doesn't make much of a difference. At the end of the day, the gzera was made. Does it make much of a difference why they made the gzera? So the Yeshuchan and many others, many before the Yeshuchan, raised the question that maybe this is the Rabbanan only apply to situations where the two foods can literally physically come into contact with one another. So that would make sense if I'm eating a hot dog, there's a slice of pizza sitting on the table. So if I put down the hot dog next to the cheese, next to the pizza, it could be the two will touch one another and get a little bit of brochus on inflation and vice versa. But what if one of the foods is in a container? One of the foods is not exposed. One of the food is wrapped up, so to speak, in something. And it's impossible. It's not going to touch something else. Well, let's say, for example, I'm eating and there's milk, but it's not like a slice of cheese sitting on the table. It's like a piece of pizza sitting on the table. The milk's in a cup. The milk's in a bottle. The milk's in a container. And it just happens to be sitting on the table. So what's going to happen is that the milk's going to open up and spill. That's already a little bit too far-fetched. So maybe one could argue that if the gezeira was like the Rambam presents it, they're afraid you can shim a yechel and eat the two together. And you can argue we're afraid in the middle of my hot dog, I'm going to go ahead and take a sip of the milk. But if according to Rashi, the idea is more of a focus on shim a yechel zem, that doesn't seem to be too realistic when you're dealing with if one of the foods is wrapped up in something. So this idea already was suggested by the Rashash. Rashash always had a debug from the Lashon of Mishnah. Now, whenever the Mishnah speaks about this issur of having of meat and milk on the same table, the Mishnah always uses the phrase gvina. It always uses the phrase cheese. It never uses the phrase milk. It never talks about having basar and chalav on the same table. It has basar and gvina on the same table. Could the Mishnah be referring to the fact that maybe the Yisra only applies to gvina? It only applies to cheese. In fact, it doesn't apply to milk. That because milk is a liquid, so it's not going to be sitting plopping on the table. It's not going to touch the meat. It's sitting in a container, sitting in a cup, sitting in a bottle, sitting in a car, sitting in something. So maybe milk, by definition, is never really part of this gezeira. So even though the Issa deraita, of course, is basar v'chalav, but maybe the Issa derabbanan of having basar v'chalav on the same table, maybe that doesn't apply to something like milk. Maybe the suggestion that there is something else he wanted to give. I don't think we really follow this. First of all, we're not sure that that's the proper deal. That's the correct deal. In the Lashon Mishnah, the Rambam clearly is against this. And Shmuel doesn't quote this concept. So I don't think we really follow this kula. But it's an interesting idea that at least according to Rashi, maybe one could argue that this gezeira would be limited to things that are literally on the table, exposed literally one to another. When we deal with this gezeira of not having meat and milk on the table together, similar to when we speak about other gezeiras derabbanan, you always have to ask yourself, when you deal with the particular gezeira derabbanan, was the gezeira derabbanan made as a low pluk? Was it made as across the board? The gezeira applies even when the reason doesn't apply, and there were no exceptions made to the rule. It's just simply that Chazal made a gezeira, and that's the kacha. The gezeira takes on its own life. So there are many, many gezeiras like that. And there are other gezeiras that no, the gezeira was made if and when the reason makes sense. It's logical. If in this particular case the reason applies, then we institute the gezeira. And you're allowed to take it case by case to see whether the gezeira applies under these circumstances. So this is, again, there's no one right answer to that question. There are some gezeiras that were clearly made one way, other gezeiras were made other ways. For example, one of the famous gezeiras that you shouldn't blow shofar at Shabbos. Why gezeira should be read at Adam's, which is a rabbin? Because we're afraid you make up to carry the shofar. So we don't find anywhere. Chazal said, oh, by the way, if you have an Erev in town, then it's okay. You know, the days of Chazal, the days of them were run. Gemara says in Erev, that they used to build Erev in all the towns, whenever they were able to. Gemara tells a story that there was a certain town that didn't have an Erev, and the Rabbanim of that town were questioned as to why they didn't have an Erev. And it's not right. If you can't build an Erev, there's some technicality, halachically, where you can't build an Erev, you can't build an Erev, whatever you do. But if you're able to build the Erev, so the Rabbanim's responsibility is incumbent upon them to make sure the Erev is built properly. So we don't find that Chazal said, oh, by the way, if you live in a town with an Erev, then you're allowed to go shofar at Shabbos. That was clearly made as a low pluk. For whatever reason, Chazal decided that gezeira was made across the board. For other gezeiras, we do find they were made with certain exceptions to them. So what's the status of this gezeira? Was this gezeira made across the board, or was built into this gezeira certainly? It's so the Gemara in the fourth of the Rambam Kamos. So the Gemara quotes, Tzora adam basar gvina mipachas achas. So Mishnah. Tzora adam basar gvina mipachas achas. Bashla yudnogin zavazet. That a person can carry a meat and cheese in the same bag as long as you make sure they're not touching one another. Everything is cold, but he goes, they try to make sure it doesn't touch. Rishim Galil, oh, meshnech, so no, in ochel ha-shukhanecha, it's a basar gvina mipachas. Rishim Galil is another cool, and ochel ha-shukhanecha, it's a basar gvina. Now, two guests can eat on the same table. So two people in the hotel, and they can eat on the same table. One can be eating meat, one can be eating cheese, and there's nothing to worry about. So the question is, why is it like the word? What happened to the gezeira of not eating together? So the Gemara explains that the reason is, we take a look at the continuation of the fourth and Rabbi Kavos, and the next line, Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami amar Shmuel, lo shana lo she'ein makirin zezeh. And they're not makirin zezeh when they don't know each other. So then, presumably, there's nothing to worry about. Because when are we afraid that Reuben and Shimon are going to share food? That's when they're friendly with the pals and gals. But they're two guests sitting in a hotel. They don't know. They never met each other. One sitting on one end and one sitting on the other. They're not talking. They're not eating. They're not sharing food. So then, it would be a problem. I'm sorry, then it would be okay. So bottom line is, the Issa derabbanan was not made if it's ein makirin zezeh, two random guests in a hotel. How does that fit into the two theories as to why they made the gezeira in the first place? So according to the Rambam, that makes a lot of sense, because what are you afraid of? that I'm gonna take a piece of, take a bite out of your pizza while I'm eating my hot dog. I didn't know you are. So you're not gonna share food with me. So according to the Rambam, I understand why there's a distinction between makir versus not makir. Even according to Rashi, who says that the real concern is that the foods may touch, I can also understand that when men and Rambam were afraid the foods are gonna touch, that means when people are really nice to each other, they're friendly with one another, talking to one another, putting out the foods next to each other, they may share the food, they may touch the food. But if you have two guys, I'm not doing each other, I'm eating in my corner, you're eating in your corner, I never said a word to you, I'm trying to finish my hot dog, you're trying to finish your pizza, that's right? So then the theory would be permissible. So the bottom line is we paskin like this school, like Rabbi Shimon and Leo, that this Isser was not made under these circumstances. If that's the case, that the Isser wasn't made under these unique circumstances of Emakir and Zezeh, this seems to answer our question, that this particular Gezeh was in fact, for whatever reason, was not made as a lit. If it would have been made as a low plug, then it would have been a low plug. We wouldn't have given a clue for the situation. So it's clear that this Gezeira was in fact not made as a low plug. And who's allowed to take the attitude that if we have real strong reason to believe that the reasons don't apply, and then presumably the din doesn't apply, the Gezeira wouldn't apply. So this is a suggestion that this is the neighbor of Shechter, about a following shot for every common shiloh. About, let's say a person has little babies in the house, and you have a baby bottle on the table, baby bottle with real milk, formula, it's real milk mix. Or let's say you have a container of formula sitting on the table, and I want to sit down, I want to have a meat. So I remember when my oldest child was born, so I remember he used to always try to be machbid. We had a pretty small apartment, a small kitchen. So I remember I would sometimes be sitting and eating, and there was some baby formula, something, bottles, or whatever it was. So I would always take it off the table, or I'd put something down under my plate. We'll talk about that a little later, that if you have also meat on the same table, if you make a hecker, so then it's probably going to be okay. We'll talk that's part of the suya develops. So I remember I used to always try to either take the bottle off the table, put a hecker down, and then somebody told me, after the Meshachter felt that you don't have to do that. And he thought that a baby bottle is like Shnech Sonoy, Shemakir, and Zezat, even though you know your baby. But Abu Bichain, it's so obvious you don't have to be concerned in the middle of eating a hot dog, you're thirsty. So instead of going to get a cup of juice, you're going to go and take a little bit of the baby bottle and drink it. Very unlikely. Well, if a person's getting a little thirsty in the middle of his meal, all of a sudden he's going to forget himself and make himself mix some formula with some water, make himself a cup of milk. Very, very unlikely. So just as Chazal said, that obviously none of the fears really exist by Shech Sadon Shemakir Zezeh, he thought that a baby bottle should have the same status of Emakir Zezeh. So again, that was followed this line of reasoning, that this Gezeira was made as a limited Gezeira only if and when the reason makes sense. It was not made as a Loplug. But now that we've established this idea that it wasn't made as a Loplug, the next question becomes, so what other examples are not included in this low plug? What other situations arise that we feel Chazal would make it because we've established that it was not made across the board? So what other possible exceptions would there be? So the Gemara has a very, very vague term. If you take a look back to the fourth of the Rambam Kavos. So back to the end of the fourth of the Rambam Kavos, the second line from the bottom, the middle of the line. The prohibition of having basar and gavina on the same table was only made with tfisa achas. Now, just in case you're not sure how to translate the word tfisa, don't feel bad because the Rishonim weren't sure how to translate it. But the Gemara says, what does it mean? Tfisa achas on the night. Whatever it means, it can't mean it literally. And the Gemara says, oh, like it ain't tfisa achas. No, what it means is it has to be like a tfisa achas. What in the world is that? We're not sure what the word tfisa achas means. And we have no idea what the phrase ain't tfisa achas means. So the Tosfos fills us in the fifth of the Rambam Kavos. The Tosfos says, "Ke'ein tfis achas." Then yesh dava mafsik lo havi ke'ein tfis achas. So the Tosfos says that tfis achas items are next to one another, and there's no dava hamafsik. There's nothing separating between the two. If you have a wall, you have a barrier between the two. So that's not really considered to be tfis achas. Things don't spread across the wall. They don't spread through the barrier. So what would that mean practically for us? So the chora, what that would mean is that let's say I'm sitting down and having my haftarah, and you're sitting down and having a pizza. And we know each other, we're very close friends. So if we just sit down at a table like that would be a violation of the sister d'rabbana. But if we put something between us, we put up some barrier between us, let's say we have to make a 10-foot high fence, we put something between us, And apparently the goal of that item between us would be to create that mindset that we're probably not going to eat for one another. The food's probably not going to touch one another because there's something separating between us. So it's going to create what we call in Allah, like a heker, like a reminder, something recognizable, something different. So that's the case, then it's okay. Then the Issa falls by the wayside. So that's what the Gemara seems to be saying, at least according to Tosa's definition of what Tfisa Achas means. So then Tosas is not sure, they quote Yesh Mefarshim, we're not so sure, that at the end of the Tosas says that, we take out two lines to the bottom, Rishanik ain't Tvizachas, the Haimishim Akirin Zazen. That maybe what Tvizachas means is just a throwback to what we said before about Eim Akirin Zazen. I mean, it's basically the same idea, namely, that Tvizachas just means, not that they're in the same physical location, but rather they're in the same friendly location, namely, they know one another, they recognize one another. That's the shot of the words of the Tvisachas, that the Braisa, the Gemara is just revamping it with different phraseology, the phrase that we know from before, that if it's Eim Akirin, it's okay. There is no Mokor in Chazal to say that just simply putting something on the table is going to serve as a solution to the problem. So we really have 2 days in Tosfos. What's the din? So the first day of Tosfos is going with the idea that there's an independent kula now called Beis Tvisas, which basically means having a hefsek, having a heker on the table. And the second day, Tosfos says, no, there's no mokum for that. We mistranslated the phrase, kein tvisachas. What is the din? Can you put a heker and have it solve the world's problems? How do you know? So the second day, they say, maybe, no, we don't have any mokum for that. So this is already the beginning of a major, major machlekes of Rishon, which is going to have serious ramifications for Maisa for us. What's the din? Allah Maisa. You want to eat milk? And we know each other very well. And all the concerns are there. Can we simply put something between us and call it a day? Would that be acceptable or not? Can we create a shina? Can we create a heker? Can that solve the problem? So this idea may very well be related to a question to be shown him about another gezeira. You know, the many gezeiras, many different areas of halacha. There's actually another gezeira that was made that Chazal themselves connect and follow some of the details, some of the nuances of that gezeira are very, very follow very similar patterns to this gezeira of not eating at the same table, lest one comes to eat basmul cholov. And this is related to the area in halacha of what we call colloquially the harchokos in Hilchos Nida. We know that the Torah tells us, of course, obviously, bal nida is a disagreement, this is a kares. In addition to bal nida mamish, so there's a din called Osikum Galas Erva, so Machlekes HaRishon, and what exactly that pasuk means. According to the Rambam, that's like the Rambam Sefer Chinuch, that's the Shach Paskus in Shulchan Aruch, that Osikum Galas Erva means that in addition to the Isser of Gilead Rais Mamish, the Isser of literally via with the Nida, there are a whole series of Isser of Mita Araisa of Osikum Galas Erva. You're not going to do other kinds of activities that can potentially lead you in the day you arise, the day you need to, or for that matter, other arise as well. So the din is, according to the Rambam, signal gal serba, anytime there's a woman who's a nerva to you, you're not allowed to have chibuk, mishuk, other kinds, any kind of affectionate touching, which could sometimes lead down the line to signal gal serba. Those are all isum gemurim min haTorah. So any kind of affectionate touching with a wife who's a nida, with an eshizish, with a nerva, anything. Anytime that there's an isser of bia that appears in Pashtach Rebels, it's covered by the din of Osikim Ulegalis Erva, and that would be a deraisa, at least according to the view of the Rambam. Not if one agrees to the Rambam. Some say that those yisum are only the Rabbanan, but again, the Rambam baskets that they're deraisa, the Chavalkos, the real bona fide yisum deraisa. In addition to those yisum deraisa, Chazal tells us in a few places, in Masech Shabbos, in Masech Sumis, the Chazal instituted a whole series of different archokos, different things which are not their rights, which are only mit the Rabbanon, to prevent these Isurim. And these are chokos, we assume, were only instituted by Ishtel Nida. So because it's almost like a Lobadilvin, it's almost like the Chometz model, because one's wife is with Teristim part of the month, so Chazal were much, much more concerned. Therefore, there are certain things that you're not allowed to do with your wife, which you would theoretically be permitted to do with somebody else. Let's say, for example, you know, one of the famous chokos is that you're not allowed to hand something to one another with the woman who's in need. That's a question to be shown. Is that a hachaka that's really, really awesome in the Rabbanan, or is that only a minute that was accepted later? So whatever it is, either the Rabbanan or a minute, whatever it is, so many folks can hold that hachaka doesn't apply to somebody else's wife. Let's say, you want to hand one hand a set of keys to somebody else's wife, so technically that would be permissible. One hand to your own wife, that would be a problem. My high, why should that be? The answer is very simple. The same, it's the same ma'alas chom, it's the same idea supposed to call up, that because of the fact that your wife is muteris to you at other times of the month, so therefore Chazal had to be almost to compensate for that, had to be a little bit more machmir to prevent any chayt at the wrong times of the month. So the bottom line is there are halachos that are clearly midrabbanan, and one of the halachos that are incidentally midrabbanan in Masechta Shabbos is that husband and wife are not permitted to be sleeping in the same bed, even though they're not necessarily touching one another, not doing anything quote unquote wrong. Just the fact that they're sleeping in the same bed, that in and of itself is prohibited midrabbanan. So the Gemara then begins to analyze Masechta Shabbos. Some of the intricacies of that is the Rabbanon. Are there any exceptions that is the Rabbanon? Are there any things that can be done that could potentially mitigate that is the Rabbanon? And the Gemara is about to discuss that is the Rabbanon Rachacha of the Yoshe within the Achas. Is that, can that is the Rabbanon shed some light on Bas L'chol also? Because in a certain sense, there's similar kinds of gezeiros that we're afraid. Don't sleep in the same bed lest you do chayt. Don't have Bas L'chol at the table together lest you come to eat it. So they're very, very similar gezeiros, and they also have similarities in that they are, that they're also a little bit of that dimension of lobedila midei, that there's more reason for concern by ishtadlita, there's more reason of concern when it comes to basa b'chala. So hopefully we'll get to Shabbat the next year. So we'll try to open up and analyzing that gemara b'sef Shabbos daf Gimel to see how that plays out over in terms of need, and then how it carries over to basa b'chala. And try to get a little bit of a better picture as to are there, and if there are, what are some of the parameters of some of these exceptions to this Issa Dirabbanan, again, to our purposes of Oslo Chala, but again, some of it's going to be impacted by the Sugyas in Masech Shabbos as well. Just to